What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and today I'm hanging out with an expert in eye care. Yes, an expert in eye care. Today's guest has mastered everything from practice management to social media to just understanding that complete concept of fashion and function when it comes to eyewear. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome Dr. Athena Brasfield. Dr. Brasfield, how are you doing today?
Hey, Dr. Glover, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. What an honor.
Oh man, it's an honor to have you on as well. You know, for you guys who may not know about Dr. Brasfield, I'm going to let her give you a little background of how she got into this wonderful industry of eye care.
Yeah, sure. So, I always knew I really wanted to be either a doctor or a lawyer because I was really into studying, really studious in school, and absolutely just loved learning. But in my senior year of high school, I actually saw that movie, The Devil's Advocate, and I never really wanted to be an attorney again after that. But the funny thing is that I married an attorney instead. Isn't that funny? So when I started looking into medicine, I wanted a career with a good work-life balance and that really had a positive impact on the community. Of course, you know, a good income and quality of life, and optometry really filled all those requirements for me. I wanted to be in medicine, but I never really wanted to miss my kid's soccer game or have to leave the dinner table because I was on call and had to rush to the hospital. Also, my parents were opticians, so I was constantly exposed to the optometry field. And of course, our profession is so unique because it has a fashion component, which I absolutely love. So it was really a natural choice for me.
Wow, I like that. That's pretty interesting. So both of your parents, they were opticians?
Yeah, they were. And, you know, they definitely bred me in the optical industry and were absolutely instrumental to my success. That's for sure.
So we're going to have to talk about this a little bit more because not everyone is blessed to have that background. I mean, give me just like your day in your life when you were younger in regards to how you worked with your parents in the optical shop.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have one of my earliest memories is so funny because they actually used to take me along to the optometry practice where they worked and on Saturday mornings when optometrists were just starting to open up on the weekends back in the 1980s. And I'd be there and I'd bring my little teddy bear and my mom would put on a little black and white small TV in the back of the lab. And I'd hear my mom talk about the benefits of anti-reflective coatings. And I'd, you know, sort of get memorized by the dipping of the lenses into the tinting machine. So it was really a very unique upbringing. But it's really cool because they never actually pushed me to go into the industry. They never once mentioned me joining them in the optical field or becoming an optometrist. But I think they sort of sat back and let me sort of appreciate what the industry had to offer and make my own decision in that regard.
And I know they're super proud in regards to what you've accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely my biggest supporters. As an only child, I'm super close with both of my parents still. And when I told them I wanted to go to optometry school, they actually, sold their house and helped me through undergrad and helped me a little bit in my graduate degree as well. So they were definitely very instrumental and supportive, and I could not have done anything without them.
Wow, that's what's up. Shout out to your mom and dad for being very instrumental in your success. Let's talk about your success. I mean, you are a practice owner and you own two practices, Coachella Valerie Optometry. Let's talk about it.
Right. So, you know, in my childhood, my parents, they worked for those optical chains, and one of the big optical chains closed and they purchased the practice after that, and they became entrepreneurs. So at an early age, I was able to see firsthand, you know, the sacrifices and the benefits that come along with being your own boss. My parents definitely instilled in me that entrepreneurial drive, and I always wanted to be a business owner since I was a little girl. So fast forward 30 years, and here I own two clinics, and we largely serve the rural Hispanic communities in the East Coachella Valley. Valley. So most of our patients, about 80%, are on Medicaid. And so they're below the poverty level. And with that comes a lot of chronic health problems and medical disabilities. They often have a really hard time getting to their appointments, and they also don't have a lot of healthcare providers to meet the demands for the service.
Oh, wow. So you're very busy. So with you running two practices, are you seeing patients, or are you doing more of the back end and managing everything?
I'm doing mostly the back end of the, and the management at this point. And that's one of the toughest parts about being in private practice. You know, there really is not a life-work balance. Work always comes home with me, whether it's trying to balance the books or keeping up with ICD coding. And, you know, us as doctors, for the most part, we just really want to, you know, cure diseases and save people's vision. But for those of us who are in business for ourselves, the paperwork, the regulations, the medical billing requirements, all that stuff can be so burdensome. So I'm spending a lot more time in front of the computer than with patients nowadays. And that time management is always tough because I definitely do miss the patient care.
I bet. I mean, that's one thing that keeps my foot kind of in patient care is I miss it. I mean, I love it. I mean, there's just something about that doctor-patient interaction, that conversation, that doctor optical transfer. But I get it. I mean, you have six doctors that work for you. It's kind of hard to be able to manage six doctors and see patients at the same time. So it makes perfect sense.
It is. And, you know, with each, you know, doctor associate that I have, each of them gets a couple weeks vacation each year. So even them just taking their, you know, paid time off days, I'm working, you know, in the clinic for them. So we often joke that, hey, you know, you're going on vacation to escape the clinic. And then when you go on vacation, it's like a vacation for me because I get to actually see the patients again. So, you know, we kind of trade off like that. So I really do miss patient care, but, you know, being a business owner is super rewarding in and of itself. And a lot of business owners say that managing people is the most difficult aspect of my job. Definitely having six associate optometrists and about 50 staff members, you know, that's definitely true. But luckily, I've been super blessed with the absolute best doctors who really share my vision for helping the community. They are all superstars. And our practice, you know, is not for the faint of heart. It's busy, it's fast paced. We see a lot of unusual pathology. Most of our patients don't speak English, and our offices are located in, you know, really low socioeconomic areas. So it's not a glamorous clinic as you would think, you know, knowing me on my Instagram and stuff. It's not glamorous work, but I try to instill in my associates the understanding and the awareness that, you know, without our clinics, and especially without them to help see the patients, this population would really have nowhere to go and the community needs would go unfilled. And so I think that that in of itself is so rewarding for our physicians to feel that you're making a difference in people's lives in a significant way. And I'm so proud of them. And they are an absolutely essential part of my success and our clinic's success.
Wow. So that's amazing. Six associate doctors, 50 team members. Yeah. When do you sleep? Let's talk about that true work-life balance. I mean, how are you balancing being a mom, being a wife, being a business owner, and also being the ultimate diva when it comes to social media? I don't understand how you can even do all of this.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, time management has always been a challenge for me because my life is so jam-packed with all the to-do lists. You know, there's just not enough hours in the day sometimes between answering the emails and conducting meetings and approving spreadsheets and seeing patients. Sometimes, you know, it's a lot. And that's just the work schedule. You know, just like you mentioned, I'm also a mom to a seven-year-old boy. And so I have to carve out time to be present with him and also my husband. It's really easy to get overwhelmed and just sort of run out of time for new projects such as Instagram and my new YouTube channel. So, you know, it's important though, and I try to remember that our industry is so rapidly changing that, you know, if I don't want to be left behind, I got to branch out of my comfort zone and try new things, devote some extra energy into the future developments. So I really try to stick to a few, you know, golden rules. And the first things first is when I wake up, I've noticed I'm the most productive in the beginning of the day. So I try to complete my most important and demanding tasks, you know, first thing in the morning. And I rely a lot on to-do lists. So making sure that I complete the most important tasks first is definitely my golden rule. And then I'm also a really big proponent of concentrating on one task at a time. So I try to really immerse myself in what I'm doing, turn my phone on silent, get it done, no distractions, no excuses, just do what you're here to do and then move on to the next thing. So those are my tips for time management and getting the most out of your day.
Nice. Now, are you using any kind of apps like Google Drive or anything like that?
Well, I did use Asana for a while, and then I had an issue where it deleted all of my lists and I couldn't get them, and I had a total meltdown. So now I just use my, yeah, it was bad. So now I just use my notes section on my iPhone, and it's kind of low tech, but that's what I do. And when it's done, I just delete that line item and move on to the next one.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to circle back on something. You know, like I mentioned before, you're a rock star when it comes to social media. You know, I love what you're doing on social media. Your pictures are amazing. I love what you're doing on YouTube. You're really hitting the two platforms that are very key for eye care professionals, Instagram and YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I mean, eyewear is definitely my favorite. Like I mentioned, that's why I got into optometry, is because it's one of the few eye care professions that has that fashion component. And, you know, that's why I started my social media presence, is I was noticing, you know, out in the communities that all the, you know, Instagram bloggers and influencers and stuff, nobody's wearing glasses, you know? And so I was thinking, gosh, I wear glasses and I sort of feel left out. So I started Instagram for a number of reasons. One of them was to be, you know, more out in the public eye, saying, hey, you can still be fashionable and wear glasses and incorporate eyewear into your outfit so that it enhances your outfit and your look, just like any other accessory, like a purse or a shoe or something like that. So that's why I really got started. I also think it's really important for, you know, Latina women to also be present in social media, put themselves out there to serve as role models for other, you know, young girls that can say, hey, look, she's, you know, a Latina doctor, you know, things like that, to show, you know, the community that you can wear glasses and still be fashionable, and you can be a Hispanic woman and still be a successful business owner and doctor, and, you know, put that out there for, you know, the public and really show people what they can achieve as well.
You know, there's a lot of young up and coming Hispanic doctors in the game, and you ladies are really setting the bar when it comes to eye care, eyewear, and really incorporating fashion and function. So I love it. And I love that you really embrace your culture and you share it with folks. And I bet it's very helpful in having that large Hispanic community in the area where you practice as well.
Yeah, you know, my dad is Puerto Rican. My mother's Turkish, so I am mixed. And although my dad grew up in a foster care setting, coming from a Latino background definitely shaped my perspective in eye care a lot. And serving the Hispanic community now, it's just circles back, you know, full scope. Latinos like my dad and I, generally, we come from a very resilient culture that knows how to overcome a lot of adversity and make the best of any situation. I always tell, you know, my staff and my associate doctors, our patients are tough. You know, they're hardworking people with really strong family values that I respect, you know, so much, being a part of that community. And when I was growing up, my parents always instilled in me a really strong work ethic and a really immense value for education, and also conveyed to me the importance of contributing, you know, to the betterment of our community as a whole. A lot of that actually stems from my Hispanic heritage. So, you know, with optometry, most of us get into this business because, you know, caring for people is part of what we want to do. It's part of our profession. And so my experience has been that, you know, for me and my clinics, having an all bilingual staff for us is definitely advantageous to communicate with patients. We definitely have that niche, and our patients are so pleased when they can find out that we can speak with them in their native language. And so because of that, at Coachella Valley Optometry, a lot of our work is focused on community and education and teaching the Hispanic public that we serve about the important role that families, you know, especially the parents, what they play in their children's health. We see a lot of kids with amblyopia, a lot of kids that don't know about preventative eye care. And so parents can really make a difference by staying involved in their children's healthcare decision making and communicating regularly about health issues and building building close relationships with their children, you know, based on their health care. So in my clinics, being able to give back to that Latino community that I come from has been just extremely rewarding.
Last year, I did a podcast with some other Hispanic doctors, and the one question that I asked them, which was very beneficial because I got a lot of great feedback from podcast listeners, was, what do you recommend for doctors that may practice in a Hispanic setting to make them more aware of things in the Hispanic culture? Like, what do you recommend for them to look for and what to do?
Well, it's definitely very important if you are trying to accommodate or trying to cater to the Hispanic community that you have check-in forms and office signage in Spanish. You know, when I first purchased this practice from the previous owner, we didn't actually have any medical history forms, so I created them all from scratch. And I quickly found out that if I had literature, whether it be on diabetic retinopathy or even just a demographic history form, if it was just in English, a lot of our patients, you know, had a lot of trouble with it. So it is double the work to have to put out, you know, e-blasts and blog posts and medical check-in forms and literature, because a lot of that stuff is not readily available in Spanish. So I had to come up with it and design it, you know, from scratch. And, you know, I did rely a lot on my staff members who are bilingual. So again, you know, having check-in forms, having literature on, you know, common eye conditions in Spanish is very helpful in opening that door and saying, hey, you're welcome here. And we understand that you might not know English at all, or even, you know, well enough to fill out this form, but that's okay. You're still welcome here is a really big thing that the community just really responded positively to in our case. And like I mentioned, also hiring staff that do speak Spanish. So a lot of our doctors don't speak Spanish, but they have scribes who are bilingual. So if the doctor is trying to communicate with a patient and can't really get the words out, you know, somebody's right there to jump in and knows all of the, you know, medical conditions and the treatment plans and everything. So they can really facilitate so that if somebody comes without their own translator, we have that ready to go for them. And I think that really would help make anyone feel more at ease during their medical visit.
Absolutely. I mean, that just makes the experience 100 times more comfortable, easier, and just makes the patient flow tremendously more comfortable and easier for the office. I mean, to be able to have someone on all aspects, whether it's the front desk, your technician, the doctor with you being in that case, or the scribe in there with the doctor and able to address any issues. I mean, that makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it really does. And then also, you know, the pressure is off on the physician as well, because they have somebody that can assist them. And you don't have to really worry too much about, you know, things getting lost in translation, because you have a community member there that, you know, is a primary Spanish speaker, you know, to help you get through that. And so the ease of communication from the patient perspective is definitely one thing. But also, you know, for us as optometrists, you know, we don't have to stumble on our words and worry, I hope the patient, you know, heard what I'm trying to tell them. I hope that I said it in the correct manner, if you're not a native Spanish speaker. And having that scribe or that, you know, that staff member that is fluent in the second language, it really just helps to ease the burden on both ends.
Gotcha. So let's talk about this a little bit more. Like, can you give us a little lesson in regards to the Spanish? Can you give us basically, you know, how do you say hi? How do you say, you know, just give us some basics that all of us as eye care professionals should know. Whatever your top five words are, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a native speaker, but I did take Spanish in high school. So I'm going to give you that disclaimer right now. And and I did do an externship at Baskin Palmer in Miami. So we did a lot of Spanish exams, but I was not practicing for about the first, you know, 8 years of my doctorate experience. And so when I got to the clinic that I now own, I could not even tell the poor man, my first patient, how to sit down. But essentially, when now I've, you know, been here for going on 6 years, and I'm pretty darn good. Everybody that's been in my clinic since day one and is really proud of the way that I've picked up my Spanish. And pretty much when I call a patient back, I say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Muy bien, ¿y tú? That means, well, you should really say ¿y usted? Because it's a more formal thing. But that is pretty much saying, hello, how are you? And then I usually say, me llamo doctora Brasfield. My name's Dr. Brasfield. And then we go, you know, into the history and the exam. And then, of course, you know, it's pretty funny. We kind of joke because we say this in the clinic so much. But my favorite phrase in a Spanish optometric exam is ¿cuál es mejor? Which is better, right? ¿Cuál es mejor? Uno o dos. Because we say that, of course, you know, any optometrist always jokes about the which is better, one or two phrase that we say multiple times a day. But in Spanish, we say that as ¿cuál es mejor? So that's one of my favorite sayings for sure. And just kind of getting to know the patient and, you know, what they do for a living and getting to know them in Spanish, you know, is unique. But it's the cuál es mejor that gets me every time.
Yeah, that's key. I'm going to use that.
you got to
tell me if I'm saying it right. Cuál es mejor?
Cuál es mejor? Yep.
Okay, cool. You know, the thing is this, I can understand Spanish when folks are speaking it to me. It's just, I don't always say it the best way. But then again, I don't speak English too well either. So I'm just all messed up all around.
No, you're good. You're good. You've got that perfect, you know, radio podcast voice. I mean, you're definitely in your element. So
look, I'm just a Southern guy from North Carolina. You know, my mother's African. My dad's from Detroit. So people can never really tell where I'm from. I lived in Philadelphia. I lived in Orlando, so my accent is real jacked up. So my words can come out kind of oddly at times. Let's just say that.
Well, you got to keep them guessing, right?
There you go. They can't know everything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's circle back to this video, this YouTube channel. You know, YouTube is something that's real hard to break into. I know you do a wonderful job with it. Let's just talk about, you know, your YouTube channel in general. Why'd you start that? And what's been the most difficult thing in regards to really getting it to take off?
Well, yeah, YouTube is a whole nother beast. You know, I started, you know, the Instagram, the social media. Pictures are pretty easy to take on your phone. But when you get to YouTube, you know, you got to edit and it's a whole new world. And I definitely am still navigating that. But what I was noticing is that a lot of my staff members, when we would, you know, write policy changes or procedure manuals and stuff like that, you know, they really had a hard time reading to the end of, you know, the manual. Like they would get bored, attention spans would, you know, be out the window. And so when I would show them like a YouTube clip about, you know, let's say how to teach a patient how to insert and remove scleral lenses, for instance, when I would write it into the manual, they couldn't really get it. But then when I would show them a YouTube video on it, you know, it really sunk in. And so that's where the light bulb clicked for me that, hey, I'm doing all of this social media on Instagram to educate the public, you know, bring awareness to the fashionability of eyeglasses and eyewear, you know, serve as a role model for others. But hey, maybe people don't want to read my, you know, 1,000 word caption, you know, on Instagram. Maybe they're into YouTube. And I know a lot of people are, you know, YouTube junkies and they don't watch TV, they watch YouTube. And so I figured that was a really big avenue that I think eye care in general is, you know, missing the boat on. There are, you know, a couple players in our industry that are on YouTube, which is great. But I definitely thought that was one aspect where optometry needs a greater presence. And so I saw the need and just, you know, that's what I do is I see something and I say, hey, somebody should do that. And so, well, why not me? You know, so then I said, I'm going to do these YouTube videos. And it takes a while, you know, to actually get the guts to do it because being on camera is certainly very nerve-wracking and watching yourself, you know, you can be really critical. But I think that, you know, having that presence on YouTube for people who don't like looking at pictures or don't have an attention span for reading captions or reading in general, you know, the YouTube crowd, you know, we owe it to them to put that information out there from a trusted source in an entertaining manner. And also, you know, carving out that niche for optometry, you know, for our profession. I think in general, optometrists are pretty behind the times with social media. I mean, everybody finds, you know, their plastic surgeon on Instagram and their dentist on Instagram and YouTube and things like that. But optometry sort of, I think, being left behind. So, by me doing it and spreading the word not only to the public, but also to others in our profession, you know, I hope to inspire other optometrists to do that so that we can get, you know, our perspective about eye care and what's happening out there in the world in relation to our profession, you know, to the public in a cohesive manner that makes an impact.
Wow, that's amazing. I love what you have done. I mean, you've taken it from business to consumer to business to business. Your team loves it. They accept the information. They understand it better. And then you're also marketing, creating better SEO to your website, to your practice. I mean, that's just phenomenal that you're jumping into this world of YouTube. I've dabbled in it a little bit, but it's so much to it that I need to spend more time in it. But like you said, it is something in optometry that we really need to take full advantage of because we have that aspect of the retail side where we could show frames, where we could talk about products, where we could show how to insert and remove the contact. So I hope that our profession does continue to grow in the world of YouTube. And I thank you for, you know, being one of the leaders in it, trying to take over and make things happen. So keep up the great work.
Thank you. You know, I certainly agree that social media is playing a bigger role in how consumers make decisions about whether to buy a product or to have a service. And it really provides a wonderful platform for everything, you know, from our patients' initial research to asking for, you know, referrals to doctors or reading reviews about your business. And you hit the nail on the head that, you know, educating and building relationships with those people to increase awareness of your business and the solutions that, you know, we offer is really beneficial. And by participating in social media, whether it be Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, you know, us as optometrists and our businesses, you know, really have a better chance to connect with the patients and share ideas and, you know, stay informed and ultimately, hopefully increase the number of patients that you generate for your practice.
Yeah. And one thing that I really like about social media is that it just creates more touch points throughout the year. You know, the old school way of doing things was you come in, you get your eyes examined, you get your glasses, your contacts, bye-bye, I'll see you next year. Mm-hmm. Now they can see your face every day, all day on social media if they're following you. And that will help, you know, bring up the thought of, man, I do need some sunglasses. Man, I do need some daily contact lens. Man, I do need some artificial tears or some solution or something that will help create traffic to the office. So that's one of the main reasons why I love social media because it really adds more touch points throughout the year.
Yeah, and it also allows you, I think, to be viewed as an expert in your field, you know? And so that gets people talking, you know, they're asking questions or you're responding to them with helpful advice. And that helps also build that trust and that rapport with your patients, your community. And, you know, when you get noticed, people get talking and then people get clicking on your website, like you said, and you get new traffic and you get more eyeballs looking at who you are and what you do and what services you provide. And that's just beneficial for you as a practitioner and for your patients by bringing awareness to those things.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned expert. One thing I know that you're definitely an expert in is eyewear. So it's mandatory that we talk to you about eyewear. What are your favorite top three eyewear designers? Because when I look at your social media, I feel like you own every brand that's ever been made and known to mankind. What are your favorite eyewear designers?
Oh, yes. Well, I was wondering when you were going to get to this part because eyewear is my favorite. I just love it. So, yes, you are right. I definitely own well over 100 pairs, and I am guilty that I have 8 more pairs in my lab as we speak. So I will be having over 108 pretty soon.
Oh, but, my goodness, over 100 pairs of glasses? You're about to get up to Elton John's level. Do you realize that?
It's hashtag eyewear addict. That's the new hashtag for 2020. No, but anyway, so as far as my top three brands goes, I gotta say, I love everything that Gucci is doing right now. I'm a huge fan of them, and I absolutely have a lot of Gucci eyewear. They're really pushing the envelope recently with their styles. Number two, I wear a lot of Chloe with their faceting, their unique frame shapes, and the tints, the color tints are just super unique and gorgeous, almost like jewelry. And number three, I have yet to get my hands on a pair of Anna Karenina Carlsons, but I just love to look and drool over those pieces. They're like works of art. So one of my goals, you know, I know I've made it on social media when they send me a pair of their glasses, hint, hint, for anybody listening, to model them. That's when I know I've made it on social media. So those are my three, but I don't discriminate. I love them all. And I think eyewear is just the ultimate expression of who you are because, you know, it's an accessory that's on your face. So making it fun, making, you know, it unique to you and showcasing your personality is really what I look for in a brand.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, those are all great designers. What about trends? You know, it's 2020. What are the trends for the spring? Do you have any ideas or what's the trends that you're looking at?
Yeah, so the trends in optical right now at the top of my list definitely has to be a circular metal aviator, like the updated Top Gun look. So those have been really popular on the runways and in the fashion circuit, on all the influencers. And it actually works to help the practice too, because then we say, well, guess what? If you get transitions, then your aviators can do double duty throughout, you know, your patient's day by doubling up as a sunglass. And they can work really well for both men and women, and they're timeless. So you can't really go wrong with the aviator. So that's definitely top of my list for 2020. Number two on the trends list, I'd have to go with 70s inspired eyewear. I like to call this the grandma chic, and I definitely rock this a lot and get so many compliments when I do. They're super easy and stylish for anybody to pull off. They're basically like oversized sunglasses, but you just use them, you know, as a clear pair for indoors. So right now there's a lot of beautiful pieces, especially by Gucci, with like butterfly shapes and beautiful forked metal temples that are definitely on trend with the retro vibe that's going on right now. And last but not least, I'd have to say translucent frames are going to be super hot for 2020. They put a creative spin on that normal solid color look, I think. And while clear is still very popular, I like the fresh crystal tints in like a pink, a blue, green, or brown. They're definitely catching my eye. And that design adds a real unique element to a typical classic frame shape. And that color is really sure to be a conversation starter. Now, translucent frames, they accent your eyes with color, but they're not really heavy and closed in like some of the solid acetates are. So it really allows our patients to play with the color without being too stark. And there's a level of subtlety to that that makes it very wearable for most patients. So those are my top three for 2020.
Well, I could tell you this much. I love that retro oversized look on you. You really kill that. And you always put the perfect outfit to go along with it as well. So kudos to you on that. And you definitely nail it whenever you rock it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Dr. Brasfield. So I want to end the podcast on an amazing post that you posted on January 5th, 2020. It's labeled or titled 10 Stunning Lessons Learned in the Last Decade. Let's talk about it because you dropped some great jewels, some great information here. Let the listeners know the top lessons you learned over that last decade.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that was such a fun blog post to write because reflecting back on, you know, the past year and in this case, the past decade, it really helps to bring, you know, life's lessons into focus, pun intended. And that's something I like to do every year to keep me focused and on track. So basically, this blog post is because I'm feeling really excited for the new decade and all the new opportunities and new lessons, you know, to be learned. And it talks about in the past decade what has really, you know, been taught to me and some great lessons that I'm going to use as tools going forward into the new decade. So the premise of the post is that, you know, change doesn't start with somebody else. It changes within yourself. And so basically I list a lot of little things that you can do in a consistent manner to result in a big transformation in your life and what I've been doing. So lesson one is, you know, success is defined by your own self. So don't say, oh, I want to get, you know, a designer handbag or a nice car or, you know, $1 million practice, because that might not be what's of value to you. So, you know, for me, being able to spend time with my family is number one. So if I can, you know, be my own boss and work my own schedule so I can take my son to his field trip next week and I can volunteer in his class, for me, that is successful, even if I don't have, you know, a Chanel bag or a nice car, things like that. So just, you know, define success on your own terms, I think is really important.
I agree with you 100% on that. And, you know, the funny thing is I got older, my success changed. You know, there were certain things that I was looking at that I thought was success, but I'm on the same page with you. Success for me is being able to hang out with my son, to be able to hang out with my lovely wife, to be able to take vacations with them and just enjoy life. I mean, life is short, so you really have to make sure you know what your success is and not chase someone else's. I mean, that makes a big difference. And as a result of me truly figuring out what success is for me, I'm a happier guy. You know, I'm always smiling, always looking forward to seeing my family and hanging out with them. So I'm glad that was the number one lesson there. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you hit the nail on the head that life is short. And so, you know, I also believe that it's too short to stress about the day to day. You know, when it gets super crazy busy, one of my tips is, you know, take some time for yourself, have fun, you know, go to brunch with a friend, go to, you know, out to dinner with a family member and just laugh and smile and have fun, because that not only improves, you know, the quality of your life, but it also helps others around you. So, you know, when things get a little crazy, you know, try to focus on what matters most to you. And of course, always practice gratitude. That's another huge thing in my life. That's been key to my success, is a lot of people talk about that, but practicing daily gratitude is one of the biggest lessons I've learned and has really played a major role in my success.
Nice. Well, thank you dearly for hanging out with me today, Dr. Brasfield. I had a great time. I really enjoy your energy. I really enjoy your expertise in practice management and eyewear, just everything optometry related. And I love your story. But for those that want to maybe get to know you a little bit better or more, what's the best email address or social media handles for them to reach out to you?
Sure, Daryl. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be on with you. So thank you so much for the invitation. And all my handles are super easy. My website is www.drbrasfield.com. My email address is drbrasfield@drbrasfield.com. And all my social media handles are at Dr. Brasfield. So just search those and you should find me pretty easily. Thanks for having me.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.